Hi, I'm so glad you could make it. Come on in. Dan and I were just discussing cereal. But if you want, you could sit here for a while we have this discussion. And just, I got a bean bag over there. You can just sit on the bean bag and just hang out with us for a bit and relax. We call this The Empty Bowl. It's a meditative podcast about cereal. And my name is Justin McElroy, and I'm sort of a cereal enthusiast.
And my name is Dan Goubert, and I am a cereal deep thinker who is plumbing the depths of his mind right now to think of a cereal title that he hasn't used yet.
That's Dan for you. He's an enigma. He keeps you guessing. Make yourself comfortable. We are going to have a discussion about cereal and other breakfast foods from time to time. We're going to have some news about the world of cereal happenings. We're going to do some reviews of current cereals, and then we'll cut loose with a couple questions just to, have a little fun. Just relax a little bit after all that intense news and reviewing. Dan, man.
We're scraping the bottom of the barrel with our spoons today.
Yeah, we're scraping the bottom of the bowl.
Exactly. Here.
Now, you know what? That doesn't even make sense because that's usually the good stuff. This is.
We're skimming the top of the bowl today.
Yeah. So what is this, Dan?
This is birthday cake Fruit Loops with sprinkles coming out to celebrate the 60th anniversary of Fruit Loops, which, first of all, it's interesting that Cap'n Crunch just celebrated his 60th birthday, too. So 60 years ago, cereal fans were eating good for the first time. That was a mind-blowing year for cereal. But eagle-eared listeners might recall that we've talked about birthday cake Fruit Loops several times before on this show because it is not at all
an original
concept.
Was there a Canadian one? That's in my head for some reason.
Yeah, the first one that came out was a Canadian exclusive birthday cake Fruit Loops, and then they did release it in America a couple years later, but they can get away with calling this one new because it has sprinkles.
Oh, okay.
In terms of like cereal taxonomy of tastes, birthday cake and sprinkles means the exact same thing.
Yes, agreed.
And also sugar means this exact same thing as those two because I don't know. We bemoan birthday cake cereals a lot here in that they don't provide a lot of flavorful depth, and I don't really have many hopes that the sprinkles are going to radically change that. But, I don't know. What else could a cereal do to celebrate a milestone like this? Are there other, anniversary-type flavors that aren't birthday cake that could work on a cereal?
I don't know, Dan. I don't know.
I mean, I guess a birthday cake can be any flavor, right?
You could have a chocolate birthday. Why not an ice cream cake? How about they bring back that Carville cereal, That's what my wife likes for her birthday, is ice cream cake.
Yeah, you're telling me that cereal mascots who have all these crazy flavors when it comes to their birthday, they're asking for birthday cake flavored birthday cake? Don't make
that's
me laugh. Or do.
I don't think anyone's ever said that out loud, but I know what you mean. It's just so unpleasant to eat. I find, and it's cloying, and it's like, I don't know. I don't want this to be a hostile show. Congratulations, Toucan Sam, making it to 60. That's
big
wonderful.
Big 6-0, yeah.
The big 6-0. I wish you had a better cereal for us. Maybe bring back Wild Berry.
Tropical, yeah.
Hey, you and the captain are going to make it happen this Halloween. That's exciting at least, right?
Yeah, so it's not necessarily news that Cap'n Crunch's Halloween Crunch is coming back because it comes back every year and it's always in the exact same form, which is, your standard Cap'n Crunch golden chest pieces and also these really funky orange ghost crunch berries that are speckled with some sort of green speckles that work their thaumaturgical magic in the milk to turn it green. And, I've always loved this one from a thematic and taste standpoint because, sometimes you want a holiday cereal that doesn't try some funky new flavor and instead just gives you something goofy to look at. And speaking of goofy, the main reason I put this on our itinerary today is because that new Cap'n Crunch character design that we talked about on the Crunchberries oatmeal is now just the bog standard Cap'n Crunch. He's on all the boxes looking like a freak, a five-fingered freak now.
I hate it. I hate the new like Cap'n us. Design. I will say his Halloween drip is on point. The cape is rad. He's got some fangs, which is always interesting. I like how they put just some fangs on there. But I hate this design of the Cap'n. It makes me so sad.
It's like the Pixarification of the cereal aisle lately, where everyone's getting these like smooth, bulbous, like 3D rendered character designs. And I don't know. It just seemed like the old Cap'n Crunch box designs had so much charm, and a lot of them would like reference old Quaker cereal mascots too, and I don't know if they're going to keep up with that or not, but this is a Cap'n who seems bent on coming into the 21st century, and I think we're powerless to stop him, especially now that he has vampiric powers.
I think that most people who looked at these two designs probably wouldn't be able to tell what we're so upset about comparing the two.
Listen, we've been looking this guy in the eye for years now. I would notice if this man sprouted a new chin hair.
I'm trying to figure out what it is that bothers me so much about it. Actually, I'm looking at the two side by side. Okay. Yeah, it's just his eyeballs are now below the hat instead of above the hat.
It's like they tried honestly, to make it more anatomically correct, but he still has eyebrows over the hat, so.
Yeah, which is a wild choice. I don't know. It just looks wrong. They need to fix it. He's got five fingers. It's terrible.
It's also interesting to note that both this Halloween Crunch and the Halloween Lucky Charms we talked about last time both feature purple boxes with the mascot dressed up as a vampire. So it's going to be real embarrassing when those two come to the same Halloween party.
You know, we've seen some pretty lazy theming before. But I think this next one might actually take the cake.
Yeah, so this is a Mexico-exclusive Barbie movie cereal. It's also a Walmart in Mexico-exclusive Barbie cereal, and it kind of just seems like they slapped the Barbie movie logo on their typical like Fruit Loops knockoff. I'm really struggling to see anything that is fundamentally Barbie-esque about this, you know?
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, it's like, it just looks like a bowl of Fruit Loops, off-brand Fruit Loops. Why? I this is what's puzzling to me, right? Obviously, the marketing for this movie has been massive. Mm-hmm. We've been inundated with Barbie materials, like, months. Why? I understand it's Mexico only, but, like, why? What makes it worth it? What makes it worth it for the film producers to go to, like, Walmart, Mexico, and say, hey, you know those off-brand Fruit Loops that you all make? Well, we love the heat that those are generating lately with how they're sort of like off-brand Fruit Loops and people still eat them and stuff. And I just like, we would love to sort of tie these two powerful brands of Frutiaros, the great value Frutiaros. We want to do Edición Especial and do a Barbie themed one that just prints the logo
on the box. I don't see why we didn't get, like you said, it's been marketed so well. Why didn't we get a Barbie cereal in America?
Just a Barbie cereal. There have been, of course, Barbie cereals in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't be like completely unprecedented. We had Barbie as Island Princess cereal, which I don't know anything about, but looks delicious. The best is Breakfast with Barbie, mm-hmm. which is a great, not only like a really genuinely great serial name. They also made the wild choice to put not pictures of like animated Barbie, but pictures of Barbie dolls in the front, huge bowls of cereal, which is fantastic.
I like how we're complimenting Breakfast with Barbie when they have a doll-like character on the box, but this homunculus-looking Captain Crunch does not scratch the same itch.
No, yeah, well, you know, that was the 80s. It was Ralston. Things are so different. Kellogg's has done previous Barbie cereal. I mean, it's happened. There's been plenty of Barbie cereals. Just make one. Why would you tie it to off-brand Mexican Walmart Fruit Loops? That's so...
If you were to make a Barbie movie cereal for American audiences, what would you flavor it like?
Do you know what I would do? I would do a pink lemonade cereal.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
That flavor's really on trend.
You know who makes a pink lemonade cereal? Walmart.
Are you telling me Walmart does?
So we could be getting great value strawberry lemonade Barbie the movie cereal in America.
Honestly, they should just call it great value Barbie the movie cereal and sell us pink lemonade cereal with some, like, I don't know, car and shoe shaped marbits. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Let's do it.
I would love to see them branch off into other sort of pink-ish flavors, like a passion fruit or pomegranate Barbie cereal. Oh, yeah. Would be cool.
Passion fruit would be great.
And then you can pair it with the Oppenheimer cereal, complete with its, I don't know, Pop Rocks?
So, the news a little soggy this week, which is fine. But you have some exciting new cereals that you have sampled, and I would love to hear more about them. One that I have a little bit of insight on, but I would love to hear about what you think of these other three. Most notably, welcoming one of the only, maybe first, possibly second, humanoid female cereal mascots with Carmella Creeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, despite it being only July, General Mills was kind enough to send me both new entries into the Monster Cereal canon for this year. So both Carmella Creeper and Monster Mash Remix featuring Carmella Creeper. Let's start with her solo cereal, though. You know, as her name might allude to, this is a caramel apple flavored monster cereal. And the most important part is that this cereal is so green. It is beautifully green, like an emerald sea of green. I love to look
like
at it.
Like slime green?
Exactly. Precisely a slime green. I like to look at it more than I like to taste it, but that kind of applies to every single monster cereal ever at this point. It's like, I feel like there's a lot of holiday traditions that we do, not because they are the pinnacle of the genre in terms of enjoyment, but just because it's something that you do around that time of year. Granted, it doesn't feel seasonally festive to be eating these cereals now, but it is starting to get those first drops of the Halloween spirit into my bloodstream. And I will say the caramel apple is probably the best caramel apple cereal I've had, because I can only really think of one other that I've ever had, and that would be Caramel Apple Jacks, a cereal that did not taste like apple in any sense. You can at least definitely get like a tangy Jolly Rancher appleness out of this, and it's sort of coated in this caramelized darker brown sugarier sweetness on top of it. So it does pair very well. If this had I'll beat the dead horse. If it had an oat cereal base, I think this would have been a really great cereal. I should have said beat an undead horse. The corn will always be holding these cereals back, but I definitely think this is a worthwhile one to try for monster cereal fans. Even if only from like a completionist state, and only from like a I need something to mindlessly munch while watching a scary movie this season. I like Carmella Creeper as a character. I think she has a promising future, and I hope that, you know, she comes back next year and doesn't become one of the like second string maybes like Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy did.
Now, how does she get along with all of her other monster compatriots?
Monster Mash Remix is not as worth of trying, I would say. Like, I had the same problem with Monster Mash cereal when it came out the first time. You know, the last time it came out, it was ostensibly the exact same lineup, where you've got the ghost crunchy pieces. For the first time, you had Booberry and Frankenberry pieces, and those were complemented by Marbits from Fruit Brute, Yummy Mummy, Count Chocula, and I guess those were the only ones in the original one. And now I'm looking at the box. Hold on. So this has ghost pieces now from Booberry and Carmella Creeper, and I'm seeing marshmallows from Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy, but I'm not seeing any Frankenberry representation now in this cereal at all.
Interesting.
Seems like he's been left out of the equation entirely. Maybe if I search through the boxes. I guess I do see some pink Marbits in here. There's kind of a lot going on, but it doesn't really matter given that all the Marbits taste the same anyway, so it's a little bit of a shallow representation. However, basically, the effect is that this just tastes like Booberry 100%. I would have thought that with how sharp the green apple was in Carmella Creeper's solo cereal, that would shine through a bit more here, but there's something about Booberry, and it's weird because when it comes to individual monster cereals, though Booberry is my favorite of the monster mascots, I've always felt that his cereal is the weakest, the most boring and blandly fruited, and despite being more bland in that way, it seems to subsume all of the other flavors here, and it ends up just tasting like this really thin, indistinguishable, maybe blueberry, but I'd stretch to even call it that, type of flavor. So this is taking Mindlessly Munchable to its absolute limits, because I couldn't even articulate my mind around what I'm tasting half the time when I was eating this. I will say the only standout is that because there are Booberry ghosts and Carmella Creeper ghosts, you know, Booberries are like this sort of dark, ashy blue, and Carmellas, of course, are this vibrant slime green. And there's like some weird mutant hybrid ghosts that contain both green and that dark blue, and they look really, really funky, like some sort of radioactive Godzilla-type creature. So if you're really into cereal for the optics, then I think both of these monster cereals could be worth a try. But from a pure flavor novelty standpoint, I think only Carmella is really worth it.
Well, okay, Dan, I'm going to hang my hopes on this one. Don't. Maple Raisin Bran. Don't.
If we're talking about cereals that don't need to exist, this is like top of my list. And that's partly because I am an absolute Raisin Bran crunch fanatic. And I feel that, you know, much like the Cinnagram Toast Crunch and Cinnamon Toast Crunch type conundrum, that there's no reason that regular Kellogg's Raisin Bran needs to exist in this world when Raisin Bran Crunch is so much better. I know there's lots of people that'll disagree with me on that, and that is a viewpoint I simply cannot like wrap my head around.
If we didn't have regular Raisin Bran, I don't know how Holiday Inns would disappoint their morning breakfast guests with their big unwieldy cereal turner, you know, the one where you turn the knob and it crushes the cereal into dust so it can fall into your bowl. And it's always the worst, the cereals you would least want to eat. And that you got to get regular Raisin Bran in there. It's perfect. Regular Raisin Bran, plain Cheerios, and stale Fruit Loops.
Exactly. That is the and off-brand menu eats.
Yeah, off-brand.
And so, like, I don't know. So to me, I don't understand why regular Kellogg's Raisin Bran and Raisin Bran Crunch use different flakes, where the regular Raisin Bran ones are so much chewier and mealier, and of course they lack that granola element to complete the trilogy of textures that I hold so dear. Hold on, my cat's walking past my microphone.
Ugh. I've been there.
Yeah. Okay, what was I saying? Raisin Bran, yeah. And the maple doesn't add anything either. I could not taste the maple at all. Maybe my tongue was sort of blunted from sheer spite of having to eat regular Raisin Bran in the first place, but I just could not detect even the slightest bit of maple. Like, you can smell it when you open the box, so maybe if you're, like, huffing the box while you're chewing it, you can maybe make that sort of synaptic connection, but I wasn't tasting any maple, and so it just, like, it feels like I got tricked into eating my least favorite raisin bran. I guess if you're one of those people who really likes regular Kellogg's raisin bran, maybe it's worth a try, but I can't speak for you, and vice versa.
All right, last up is one that I was able to find at my local Walmart a couple weeks ago, and it still is in my cupboard, which don't read too much into that. I have a lot of cereal. So what did you think of Miraculous Strawberry Macaron? A little background here very quickly from somebody that has two daughters that like Miraculous. It is on the Disney Channel. It is a show about a young woman who is also a superhero, and she uses she's called Ladybug, and she has a Miraculous that helps her transform, and she's got a friend named Cat Noir, and that is the deal with Miraculous. She fights a bunch of wild villains in Paris, where she also works at a bakery, hence the macaron angle on this cereal.
Yeah, honestly, maybe it was just because I tried this, like, right off the tail end of trying the very bland Monster Mash cereal, but I felt like this one was pretty uniquely flavorful and kind of good, actually. Like, I'm
kind of good, right?
I don't love the, like, Corn Puffin' Marbit formula, which is kind of bog standard for any licensed cereal, but I think they did something pretty unique here with the strawberry taste, where it's not just your standard, like, atomically sweet artificial strawberry. Like, don't get me wrong, that artificial strawberry is there, but they did try to get some sort of, like, deeper, I can't say it's necessarily distinctly macaroni. Definitely not macaroni.
Definitely can't say macaroni.
But there's some sort of, like, it's one of those things where you try it and you're like, man, I've tasted this somewhere before, somewhere, like, way back in my lifetime. And I managed to pinpoint it, that it tastes like Yogos. If you remember Yogos.
Oh my gosh.
Those little yogurt-covered strawberry bites. And it does feel like it has this slight, like, yogurty tang to it, which I guess is probably the best that any cereal could hope to approximate the rich nuances of, like, a macaron. But what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It is definitely different. Like, there is a bit of a... God, again, so hard to describe, but it is an artificial strawberry flavor for sure. But there is something about it that has, like, a baked flavor, like a hardiness to it a little bit, like an undercurrent of, like, oh, this is, like, again, macaron is an impossible flavor. Like, it puts it in your head, but, like, a macaron is a cookie that's made with almond flour, and it's all about the texture, really, with a macaron. So it's, like, hard to get a macaron flavor. And I could definitely get a little bit of almond, I think, is maybe what possibly we're detecting here, because that, I bet if I had to guess, there's a little bit of almond flavor to bring in the macaron angle, or at least that's how I would approach it if I was them. But, like, it's perfectly fine. The colors are nice. They bring in, like, the purple, or, like, a dark bluish purple that her hair is,
I like that.
And the red of the costume and the white marbits. I mean, it's not spectacular, but it definitely, in the world of licensed cereal, it is not hard to stand above the crowd. And I feel like this one pulls it off. Mm-hmm. It's definitely worth trying.
Borderline miracle in the cereal aisle.
Yeah, right. You tend to send us questions when you find yourself lost in the cereal wilds, and we'll dispatch a team to come rescue you with knowledge. Our email address is mail@bowl.rest. If you have a query, feel free to send it our way. You can also send us a voicemail if you want. And if you head on over to bowl.rest, you can click the voice message button and send us one. If you got a question there or just some thoughts, I don't know, send whatever you want. Hi, Dan and Justin. You've covered the ground of cereal that tastes like other discontinued cereals and cereal-related products, but have you ever tasted something completely detached from cereal that tasted a lot like a certain cereal? For example, I found the new viral Grimace birthday shake to taste something like Boo Berry mixed with Captain Crunch, chased shortly after by cough syrup. Love the podcast, and I hope you two are having a good night. That's from Jill.
That's a tough one.
Have you ever tasted something that reminds you of cereal that is not cereal?
I will say that, like, I can't name specific things, but, like, I talked about how my favorite cereal of all time is Neopets Island Berry Crunch, and it had this really distinct, like, unique fruit flavor, and, like, I'm convinced that that particular synthetic flavoring substance still exists out there and is being used in other products, because, like, sometimes, you know how you, like, you'll be out and about on a, like, a in a park or whatever, and you'll get a whiff of something that just transports you back to your childhood? Like, mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll taste something that'll activate some sort of primal instinct in me. Some sort of deep, wistful, nostalgic chill will radiate throughout me, and I'll be like, wait a minute, is that Neopets Island Berry Crunch? And just like that, it's gone. And I forget. And, like,
it's hilarious, but I've experienced that exact thing with the Trolls cereal that came out with the original film that had that flavor. I was like, I ate it, and I was like, wait a minute. This is what I remember Smurf Berry Crunch feeling like. But, like, it felt like one of those, these aren't a thing anymore, but they were these magic eye pictures, mm-hmm. where you would, like, cross your eyes a little bit, it would make the image 3D, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you couldn't, like, it was hard to keep it fixated, or else you'd get a headache. And that's kind of what this is like. There's, like, a magic eye of flavor. It just kind of, I lost the connection to Smurf Berry Crunch just as I was eating it. But
especially since we seem convinced that Smurf Berry Crunch and Neopets Island Berry Crunch might have tasted the exact same too.
This is so, what I'm saying. In every generation, there can be only one.
There's some sort of,
maybe off-brand Mexican food.
Oh my God, I bet. This mimetic motif.
But only the Barbie variety. Hi, Dan and Justin. I've been catching up on episodes while doing renovation work, and I just listened to episode 84, in which Dan expressed that he is always down for every opportunity to talk about his cats at length. I enjoyed hearing about both of your pet cereal habits. I'm also a lover of cereal and pets, so I encourage the joyful union of these subjects. My question is, if each of your pets were a cereal, what kind of cereal would they be? My cat, Hedgehog, would be chocolate and honey cereal with colorful star-shaped oat pieces. Thank you for all the meditative cereal podcasting and hard-hitting breakfast journalism you do, Elaine.
That's a good question, because I love my cats. And I was about to say for the previous question, too, that sometimes my one cat, Wally, smells like Golden Grahams. And that reminds me of cereal, despite being totally detached from cereal. I would say, though, that if he were a cereal, he would probably be like a bowl of Oreo O's mixed with Cocoa Krispies, because he's a noisy boy. And my other cat, Boo Boo, who's a really long, white-haired cat, would probably be like a strawberry Cheerios, but instead of milk, it's just like a big bowl of whipped cream that they're sprinkled at the top. He's a sweetheart.
My cat, Olive, would be Reese Puffs, just like she's very needy and affectionate, and I feel like that cereal is kind of like cloying in a way that's like desperate to please. Like, we've really blessed these with chocolate and peanut butter. Don't you like them
please
now?
Love,
like,
us.
Please love this cereal. There's so much on here. It's almost, at first you're like, oh, heck yeah, that's delicious. And then you're like, man, there's a lot in here. Whoa, this is so much. I really could use a break. My other cat, Amelia, has nothing to do with any of us. I think, she would be Uncle Sam's here. Like, she's just sort of there, and you're pretty sure, like it exists, but you can't fathom why it exists or why it's available.
Like,
and
that is Raisin like Bran. That.
Yeah. Well, now see, Raisin Bran, I have seen adults consume. Uncle Sam, on the other hand, we should both try. Uncle Sam. If I could just talk about it, Uncle Sam boxes, if you look at one, it says original wheat berry flakes. There is nothing. Yeah, no one would put the fact that they would put berry in there. Like, there is not a berry flavor in Uncle Sam. It is wild. We should both have some Uncle Sam for next
week. All right, I'll try and track some down.
We'll do a review. Have you ever eaten Uncle Sam before? It looks so boring. I can't believe it's real.
I've had Skinner's Raisin Bran, which I feel like similarly. Esoteric and cryptic.
We should try to seek out the worst cereal that is currently available. Like, there's probably a lot that we don't buy, but we should try to find the one that is our least favorite to eat. All right,
challenge accepted.
Any other questions? Oh, Justin and Dan, I'm heading back to college this fall for my sophomore year. This means I will not have constant access to milk that I do at home because space in my mini fridge is precious. Also, my dining hall isn't open very late, so I'd like to keep some snacks in my dorm. This leads me to two questions for you. What cereals would you recommend to eat dry, and which cereals are the best late night snacks? I love the podcast and will usually fall asleep by the end of an episode, but sometimes I get too invested. Thank you. That's from Sydney. Not an answer to your question, but a little tip. If you get if you're at McDonald's or any other fast food place like that has milk, get milk and you'll get a sealed tiny bottle of milk that's just like perfect for cereal usage. It won't take up a lot of fridge space and they usually are like preserved, so they'll last longer than, you know, normal fresh milk that you get at the grocery store. So that would be one workaround for that, just so you can have a little bit in the fridge for when you need it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good question. I think we've probably addressed dry cereals at some point, but I feel like the older I get and the more the perils of adulthood just come up on a day-to-day basis, the more I find myself just like dry palming dry cereal out of my pantry in lieu of a more involved snack. So I'm starting to feel like there's not necessarily all that many cereals that are bad to eat dry. Like,
yeah, they're like good to eat. I will say, though, I have had some dry handfuls of the Miraculous, and I do think that that is something that is balanced a bit by milk. There's a bit of an aftertaste I found with that one. So I don't know. I'm not sure every cereal is super palatable in that fashion. That said, I tend to find cereals that have like a cinnamon note, that kind of like base, are the most pleasurable to eat fistfuls of, like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. All varieties of that like are sort of classics. I think that's definitely something that I can always grab a handful of.
Yeah,
problem there being some grit on the fingers.
Yeah, I'm gonna say if you're willing to go beyond like your straightforward light and airy breakfast cereal, I'd say get yourself a pouch of Love Crunch granola. That is like like any granola would work, obviously, but I'm a really big fan of the Love Crunch for like a quick, potent, rich, and decadent handful of cereal-like substance. And they make so many good flavors. The chocolate and peanut butter is an absolute classic. And then they make like a dark chocolate and like a hazelnut butter type one, like almost like a Nutella-y type stuff. And you will not regret diving into that that particular dense and decadent feel.
Sounds great.
And as for like late night, this is another tip that I'll give, is that late night cereal is your chance to go crazy with it, to get freaky with it. Toss some chocolate chips in there, put some whipped cream on it.
Toss some chocolate chips in there.
Conventional wisdom will tell you that making a super sugary cereal concoction at bedtime will have you up late and like you won't be able to sleep because you'll be so, you know, oversweetened. But in my experience, if you make the bowl like crazy rich and sweet enough, it'll just knock you right out. Your body won't even get the chance to process that sugar. You will be immediately sedated. And I can't recommend it.
Yeah, it's like a tranquilizer. It's like a human tranquilizer.
Exactly.
It just drops me.
Threat neutralized.
I like, this is weird, but like, I like something that gets kind of mushy at night. You know, like, I like some mushy Crispix with chocolate chips in there and like just really amping up the flavor and the texture balance. Like chocolate chips don't do anything in milk, so like you retain the like some crunch no matter what. And also they're not designed to be in cereal, so when you're at the bottom of the bowl, you know what I'm talking about, Dad. You come up with these spoonfuls that are just chocolate chips. Just a big spoonful of chocolate chips and milk. It's amazing. It truly feels like being an adult, because there's no way that I would let my kids do this, but I do it.
And no one can stop you.
I do what I want, as long as I don't tell my wife. No, she encourages me. She knows that it makes me happy. If you have a favorite late night cereal, we'd love to hear about that, or anything else. Mail@bowl.rest is our email address. If you would share the show with a friend this week, that would be so appreciated. We always love to bring new people into the fold, and we're so happy to have all of you here. Dan, who do we owe gratitude to this week?
We would like to thank Chris Zabriskie for our opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, Bria Davis for doing our amazing podcast branding, as well as Em Loper and Samuel Rarden for designing our Empty Bowl merchandise.
That is going to do it for us for this episode of The Empty Bowl. But until next time, don't forget to drink the milk.
Because that's where the chocolate chips are hiding.
Yeah, the chocolate. Don't forget to eat the chocolate chips.
Exactly.
Certainly.
Oh,
the milk.
Critical life advice.
Otherwise, you're just wasting chocolate chips. It's a sunk cost.